Maybe I'll let one of you answer. Start.
Okay.
It's a real, real simcha and the schus to be here learning with you in the summer. And b'siyata d'shmaya, we will have a very, very productive zman in learning, growth in Torah, your shemayim, and also it'll be fun. One of the nicest parts about the summers is also just the chevra at meals and general. So I'm looking forward to that also. I know we didn't really maybe have a chance yet to fully introduce ourselves. I don't know if everybody knows everybody, but I think we should. But maybe we'll do that tomorrow. But I think that's also a big part of things. So we're going to start with the sugya of Chukos Akum. And as I mentioned this morning, it's a isser that's very hard to be magdir. That's what we've been doing the whole day today, trying to figure out what the hagdar is. And we'll continue working on this tomorrow as well. What is the hagdar? Many, many practical shilas, graduation gowns, flowers on Shavuos, said alternative medicine, turkey on Thanksgiving. So we'll have the Ezra Hashem after we go through the kollel. Have an opportunity to then try to figure out how they apply to all of these practical examples. So as you saw, there's three or four psukim in the Torah that address this, in Achrimos, in Kedoshim, in Parshas Mishpatim, also in Sefer Dvarim there was one, Chazal, different contexts, and we've shown them inside all four of these psukim. It's interesting, maybe we'll get back to this later, to think about how some of the formulations are different from each other. Chukim, Tasu, Telechu, sometimes they're narrow, sometimes they're broad. Is it limited to Sheva Amamin and Mitzrayim, which are the ones stated explicitly in the Psukim? Or does it apply to all Gayim? And perhaps these are mentioned because Dibar Kasa Behova, these are the ones that are most, the greatest threat. To what extent does this relate to Avodah Zarah? All practices or just Avodah Zarah practices? Again, from the Psukim, you might think. There seems to be a connection to Avodah Zarah, but not clear. That's another thing we're going to see. So as you probably saw from the Gemara itself, from Shas, we say little in terms of the Gader. Certainly in the Psukim, we don't know what the Gader is. The Gemara also, not too much. The closest thing in Chazal really is from the Sifrei Halacha, from the Sifra and the Sifrei, also is parallel one in the Chilta. And therefore, we're going to start by looking at those sources to figure out what the Gader of the Yisr is. It's always a good idea to look at Midrash Halacha, but as I mentioned before, I don't really get so much credit for this because the Rambam, among others, does that. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos quotes both Taurus Kohanims as well as the Sifrei. So let's start with the Taurus Kohanim from Achrimos. It is interesting, by the way. I don't know what to do with it, but the Rambam always sounds like the Ikar Mitzvah is from Kedoshim, and then Achrimos is like a kefil? Is there something more in Kedoshim that makes that source more fundamental? I'm not sure. As you noted, Rashi, the Urayim, quote the psukim from Sefer Shmos, where it doesn't even use the term Mechuko Sehem Lo Seleich. What's the significance of that? Maybe we'll have a chance to get back to some of those questions. So the Sifra that you have in the Makoros that I sent starts off like this. O Kamas Eretz Mitzrayim, O Kamas Eretz Kananash Lo Tasu. So the first thing it tells us is that practical things are not excluded. Nobody thinks that because Gayim live in houses, we can't live in houses. So clearly anything practical is excluded. I wouldn't know that from Maasei, because Maasei could imply all Maasei. And therefore we learn from Bechukoseihem, Lo Seilechu, a chok implies something which isn't practical. Maybe we could call it ritual. So practical things are not included. We learn that from Chukoseihem, Lo Seilechu. Just like in mitzvos, we distinguish between chukim and mishpatim. So it's chukos ha'akim. It's not mishpatei ha'akim in a sense that are aser. It's interesting that we don't just say chukim, but we say chukim ha'chakukim lahem v'lavoseim v'lavaos ha'oseim. Is that important? What if it's a newfangled chok? We'll see that some rishonim, like the Reim, hold that the restriction is limited to specific practices that were the practices of the Kenanim and the Mitzriim, those specific things that are mentioned in the Tosefta on Shabbos, Perek Vav and Zayin. And perhaps, though it's not clear he derives it from this line, but perhaps this line would support that idea. In other words, we're looking for certain practices, rituals, that they did forever and ever. Most Rishonim do not accept that view. And that raises an interesting question. So what's the significance of Chakukim Lahem V'Lavosem L'Avosem L'Avosem? Maybe because this things that are long-standing rituals that have no explanation, we're going to assume have a connection to Avodah Zarah. The like, we'll see again, that's going to be the approach of the Ran. In other words, why are they doing it? Is there a reason? So if it's a new practice, we can figure this out. Either it has a reason, we'll know the reason, and then perhaps it's not Asir. Or it doesn't have a reason, it's Avodah Zarah. But the question that the Medrash is sort of pointing to is, well, what do you do when there's this thing that they do? Why do they do it? I don't know. They've just been doing this forever. It's a chok shechakach lahem v'lavosem v'lavosavoseihem. And therefore, it's these types of things that are aser. So not so clear. Umayu osims, and we give a fascinating example. You know, I would have thought, all sorts of practices, sort of strange rituals or the like, the types of things that Chazal mentioned in the Tosefta, for example. But we give something that's not something we would think of as a chok, chukas akam. Umar yuosim. Ha'ish no se l'ish, ha'isha l'isha. Now, presumably, this is going beyond just the formal iser of Mishkav Zachar, that's already prohibited. A lot of times, things that are chukas akam might also be otherwise usher for different reasons, as I think we saw the Urayim point out. But Shalom Aleichem, welcome, have a seat. So as we saw the Urayim point out, they might be also for other reasons. Here the point might be similar. In other words, even if it's not a Mishkav Zachar in a formal sense, but Ha'ish no se l'ish is still Aser because of Chukuzakim. It's quite extraordinary, actually, in light of modern times, that this is considered the paradigmatic example of chukos akum, and that's something that we should think about. Turning to the sifra in the next parak, that was from parak yud beis. This is parak yud gimel. Chukosem lo se lechu, the chima inyach hakasav shelo amro. In other words, there are so many things that the Torah already prohibited that were clearly chukos of the Gaia. So what left is there to prohibit? So this seems to be a major expansion. The psukim are telling me that even things that are nimuso shalahem, and the examples are theaters, circuses, stadiums. Now, if I just had this source, I didn't know anything else, I would think that the Medrash is telling me that you can't go to a baseball game. because that's what it's saying. It's saying stadiums are aser. These are nimusos. These are chukim. However, if you look at the Sefer Mitzvos LaRambam, when he quotes this, he says that's not the case. Tartios v'karkasios, this is from Sefer HaMitzvos Lamed, Los Aset Lamed, Tartios v'karkasios v'startios, Elu heminim min hamoshavim, shahayu miskabtim b'hem lavodas hatzlamim. These were stadium and giant places that they would gather together for idolatry. I sort of think of the Pantheon and the stadiums of ancient Greeks, where it wasn't purely, these weren't temples. In other words, I think there's an additional chiddush here. We already know that their batei avodah zarah are aser. But there was some association, the Rambam thinks, with idolatrous practice. Again, like was the case in ancient Greece. You go to the Colosseum in Rome and you'll see, which was a place for sports and gladiators and the like, but there'll be statues of Saturn and Zeus or whatever outside of it. So that's what the Rambam's telling us. Going to a baseball game might be usher for other reasons. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked that, Shiloh. We'll see tomorrow, Bezos Hashem, Shuvas from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has a half a dozen or a dozen Shuvas on Chukzakim, which are going to be very significant. One of the questions he was asked was, is going to a baseball game usher mitzvah Chukzakim in light of this source in Chazal? And he says no, because there's no connection to idolatry. It might be usher because Moshe vlates him, he thinks, but not chukosakam. And so that is not, that's not what the Medrash is referring to over here. So we continue. Remeir Omer, Elu darke amori shemanu chacham. Is Remeir disagreeing with the Tanakhama or adding to the Tanakhama? Not clear. Meir clearly says that if you want to know what is included in Chukzakam, look at what Chazal specified. Where did they specify? The most large list is in Shabbos in the Tosefta, Perek Vav and Zayin, or Zayin and Ches, depending on which version you have of the Tosefta. And so the Gemara in Shabbos, the Tosefta tells you all sorts of things that are aser. And Remeir says that's what it is. So again, is Remeir adding or not? Not clear. The Rambam, for example, in the Sefer Mitzvos clearly thinks there's no machlokas here because he quotes the Tanakhama and he also concludes the Sefer Mitzvos by saying, well, if you want to know what's aser, look at the Tosefta over there in Perek Zayin and Perek Ches. So the Rambam didn't think it's machlokas. Possibly other Rishonim did. We'll return to that question when we see the Iraim. Because as far as I know, in those prakim, it doesn't mention theaters or the like. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Shelo Tanachor Velo Tegadel Tzitzis Velo Shelo Tispor Kumish Safa. So he mentions three things. The latter two are haircut related, which we'll see as well in the Rambam and in the first one. I'm not sure what Lo Tinchor means. You know, from context, sounds like it probably has something to do with the way in which you groom yourself. But I don't know. I don't know how to translate that word. I don't think it has to do with the mechira in the sense of like killing or something. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, again, is he arguing, adding? Not clear.
Is mechira killing?
Mechira usually means, is oftentimes contrasted with shchita, like poleaxe and killing from the back of the neck as opposed to the front of the neck. I'm not sure how to translate the word in this context. We looked in dictionaries and didn't see what a definition that sort of fit this particular context. Shema Tomar, lahem chukim v'lanu in chukim. Tam lomar es mishpatai tasu, es chukosai tishmeru, alachas b'am ani Hashem alokeichem. Adayin yesh tikva liyetzer hara lahaher v'lomar shalhem naim shalanu. They have such nice rituals. Tam lomar u'shmartem v'asisam ki'ichach maschem uvinaschem. Perhaps adding, you know, if we do our thing, that's going to earn the admiration and respect of the Gayim, not by copying them, not by being great like them. It's this Yetzer Hara that the Medrash is alluding to is something that we struggle with. I recently heard a story, and it was said about a particular Rav Twersky. I don't know which one, not the YU one, but anyway, it said that when he was young, so he imagined that he sort of dreamed, and a lot of people dream this, that like he's going to make this great Kiddush Hashem by like being a great baseball player in his Hasidish Levush. Like, that was his dream. He's going to go, you know, get up to bat for the Yankees and hit a home run wearing a Shtaimel and a Bekesha. And that was, you know, so it said, he said that when he grew up, he used to carry a bat with him sometimes. So one of the Hasidim asked him, like, why do you carry a bat? So he says, to remind me that we're going to win the admiration of the world, not by acting like a guy, but acting like Yidden. And that's what the Medrash is saying. You know, that's what the Pasuk is saying. A baseball bat. To remind him of this lesson.
Oh, not to do that.
Not to do that, right. anyhow, the story, I don't know.
That's a practice.
Right, exactly. So, okay. So that's the Medrash. And then the third one we'll see is from Dvarim, from the Sefrei, Re'ei Piskopei Aleph, Hishamer Belosase, Pen Belosase. So there's a double lav here. That might not mean you get two sets of malchus. Certainly it means that the Torah is emphasizing the severity of the restriction. Pentina Kesha Chareim, Shamati Mashecha Chareim, O Shama Tidme Loham, Shalotask Masem, Yel Cholom Okesha Chareim, Sham Dam Panacha, etc. Pendidrosh Lohem Leomor, Shalotomar, Hovehim Yotzim, Betana, Afaniate Betana. Ho will the hem yotzin be argaman? Afaniyete be argaman. Ho will the hem yotzin be tulsman? Be tulsin? Afaniyete be tulsin? Esa kem gamani. So this is very significant, again, here, and because it sounds like the restriction would include things like mimicking the way they dress. So let's say argaman. Gayim wear argaman. So I'm going to wear argaman. And that's aser. That's aser. Tulsman. I don't know what that is. I thought tulsman means like a talisman, which is a sort of like a good luck charm or something like that. Right, superstitious thing. The Rambam sounds like it was actually a type of weapon, but maybe it was ornamental. I'm not sure. But what does it say? So, again, if you read this medrash without much explanation, without any other sources, I would think that I'm in violation of that iser by wearing a tie. No, shirt, okay, shirt's going to be mutter. Shirt is functional. But a tie that serves no function other than to deprive you of oxygen in your brain. There's no functional need for a shirt. So I do it because that's what they do. No, so maybe that should be also, that should be included in what it says. Heim yotzim ba'argman afani. Now I think there's a couple of things that we should point out here. All these things we will see echoed in the poskim. Number one is a big part of this. It seems to be the Medrash is emphasizing motivation. In other words, when this is usher is largely going to be, or might, a major factor might be, why are you doing it? Are you doing it to mimic them or not? And that's what the Medrash is saying. Ho'il v'heim yotzim ba'argaman, af ani etze ba'argaman. I'm in violation when I say, well, I want to dress like them. So if they're wearing argaman, I'm going to wear argaman. If I wear argaman for another reason, maybe it wouldn't be aser. Not clear. Certainly there's a basis for that, as we'll see when we get to the postgim. A number of postgim emphasize that point. Certainly this might be, we'll see the Rambam emphasizes the importance of dressing like a Jew, and that might be seen over here as well. We'll have to see what the makor for that Rambam is. Where do you get this from? Is there's makor in Chazal? This might be sort of a makor, It might be somewhat of a makor, though the Rambam doesn't even say that point, that, you know, this point that it's only us if you're trying to imitate them. But certainly the Medrash over here does tell us that we can violate Chukos Akob in the way we dress by wearing argaman. It's aser. It's a violation. Now,
when argaman is what they wear.
Right. And the like. Now, so this would, and again, we're sort of jumping ahead here, and we'll have a chance to see more. But for now, I'll say this Medrash works very nicely if you learn like the Rambam or the Gra, that the Gra's view that all ritualistic acts are asur, even those not connected with Avodah Zarah, even those that could be explained and have some type of purpose. The other view, we'll see the view championed by the Ran, the Machrik, the view that the Ramah Paskins. So how would they explain this? What's the Isser for Argaman? So you could just say it's because Argaman serves no purpose. The problem is it does serve a purpose. The view of the Gra, the Ran, we're going to see is that anytime there's an explanation, a reason why it's done, it's going to be mutter. Even if, you know, if it's okay for doctors to wear capes, if doctors wear capes, and that's derech kavod. So derech kavod is a good enough reason. You're allowed to wear a cape if you're a doctor because the doctors in Italy in the times of the Marik wore capes. So what's wrong with argaman according to that? Shouldn't that be aser? It's mamish. So the Marik, as we'll see, and we'll see where he gets it from. There's a very important report for this. But the Marik says that there's another aspect to this mitzvah, and that is pritzos, or lack of tznius. And argaman, I think is what he's saying, is the opposite. What's argaman? It's royal clothing. It's gaiva. And so if you wear argaman, then you are in violation of this iser. Because, you know, oftentimes we think of pritzos just in sexual, in the sexual context. Pritzos and tznius. Pritzos means pritzos and tznius are opposite, and that we think of them in that context. But it's not limited to that. And being showy is also certainly a lack of tznius. And argaman was the ultimate showiness, was it? You wanted to show that you're a macher, that you have expensive clothing. Instead of buying a Gucci watch or whatever Gucci loafers, you're going to get an argaman shirt. And that is, now why is that included in B'chukosem lo seileichu? In other words, it's not associated with Avodah Zarah. It's just showing off. So what the Marik seems to assume is, and if you haven't seen the Marik yet, tomorrow we'll read it carefully inside. But what he says is something amazing, a very important yisod. We as Jews are defined by our modesty. We're by shanim. That's one of the midos. That's nikerbahen. Hatsnei alecha sima shem alokecha, as the pasuk indicates, is a fundamental aspect of avodas Hashem. To wear argaman is the opposite. So now, it's not the pshat. Marik says, yeah, there's two things that are bechlal chukazako. Number one, things that are associated with idolatry. Two, things that are associated with pritzos. Is it like, what's the basis for these two things? The answer is that chukos akom means we have to be act like Jews. And there are two particular ways that we could act when we do these. We're acting as gayim, that they contradict who we are at a most basic level. One is things associated with Avodah Zarah. Not just Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is anyway aser, but even idolatrous rites or things that are associated with Avodah Zarah, rituals that aren't Avodah Zarah, but are in association with Avodah Zarah. Srach Avodah Zarah, as the Ran puts it. And two is pritzos, because you're acting like a guy. So as we mentioned, the Rambam, though, has a much broader definition. And we see that first in his Sefer HaMitzvos, Rambam very much emphasizes Malbush in Sefer Mitzvos, in Mishneh Torah, Perek Yud Aleph, where he discusses it. Even in the Koteret of the Rambam, where at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he lists the mitzvos associated with Avodah Zarah that are discussed in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam has a lot of Yisurim that are Avodah Zarah related, but the Rambam writes, what's the gedder of the Isser? Shalo lihidamos b'minhagosam u v'malbusham. It's quite fascinating that, again, that it's a example of a violation of this, I understand that if you're madam alanda malbusham, that you're over on chukosem losilehu. That's pasha for the Rambam. But the Rambam doesn't give examples in his hagdara of the mitzvah, right? He doesn't say in your hair, you know, which is also a violation or all sorts of violations, right? It's fascinating, and we'll see maybe a little bit where the Rambam gets that from. So clearly, again, as opposed to, let's say, N-word, there's going to be, as you've probably already started to see, two very basic schools of thought on this issue, with numerous variations on each school of thought. But the most basic question, I think, is whether something has to be associated with Avodah Zarah or not to be included in this issur. The Rambam clearly says it doesn't. The issur of chukosem losilehu means not to be gayish. And we have a little more of a definition of what that means, but fundamentally at its core, that's what the issur is. And as opposed to, let's say, the Ran or the Marik. So he starts off with,
I hope you don't mind questions.
No, not at all.
So just to be clear, our dress is really European. Tie jacket.
Right. So we're going to have to figure out why that, if that's mutter according to the Rambam, and it is right. Why?
Obviously it's mutter.
Right. That's certainly correct. But we need to understand where, and you know, I don't know if we're going to finish. today, but it's a great question. We'll address it a little bit in just a minute when we read the Rambam Mishneh Torah, and we'll see how even we'll see an answer within the Rambam. But it's a question that needs to be asked for the Rambam. Yes.
Let me see that the Maharik says that it has to be similar to what is our society.
Or preach us.
It's not the same thing, right?
No.
So those are the two categories.
Right. Well, Avodah Zarah, not Avodah Zarah. Then you have to figure out what does preach us have to do with Avodah Zarah? We'll get back to that question, but we already sort of gave an answer to the question, which is that it's so essential to our core definition. In other words, it's not strictly speaking Avodah Zarah, it's our core definition, which is primarily defined as our rejection of Avodah Zarah, but also relates to our tznius.
Just to clarify, Rabbi mentioned the Sefer Mitzvahs before.
Yeah.
And when the Rambam...
Let's read the Sefer Mitzvahs. You have a question on Sefer Mitzvahs?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's take a quick look. The mitzvah shloshim hi, sheziranu, milachas bidarchei kofrim. Also interesting. Emphasis on kofrim, because it's not the Avodah Zarah. Mehis nahayg.
Other
verses
say Akum. Yeah.
Okay, which other gear says?
I think it's
Rambam. I had Rambam there, and it's Akum.
I'm talking about Sefer Mitzvahs. In Mishneh Torah, he says Gaya, and Akum is a mistake. In the Vilna edition of Mishneh Torah, it says Akum, and that was changed by the censors or for the censors. And the reason is because Gaya is offensive to Christians, but Akum is not offensive to Christians. They don't think of themselves as pagan. So that's the question. Where in the Sefer Mitzvos, so here, you have to, Sefer Mitzvos is more tricky to be Medayikin because it's written in Arabic. But it's Kedai to look at different translations. You can look at the Kappach translation, the standard Ibn Tibbon translation, Rav Heller's translation. So which translation are you saying that has...
This is the standard,
Yeah, so those, I think, the Ibn Tibbon translation, and that has Akum, not Kofek.
Right.
Right. So the one I'm reading from is from the Bar Ilan one. Check which one. I think that might be Kappach. You can check which one it is. I know their Mishnayos are from Kappach. But anyway, so you'll let me know when you figure out where what translation I'm reading. I should know that. But that's the problem with computers. You don't always remember what you're reading. Frankel is Kofrim. What? Yeah, they do. That's for Fellers. They're using his translation. I didn't know that. Okay, so I'm going to, what?
I don't know where it says.
It doesn't say, if you go to the biography, where it says biography, and the responsa, it'll tell you where they got their various translations from, or their sources from. Okay, so I'm going to read on. I'm going to assume that Kofrim is correct for now, which is what it says in the Frankel edition. V'amisnaheg b'minhagoseim v'afil b'mabusheim. So here it's interesting, Malbush is an afilu, right? Even Malbushem, the kibbutzim b'moshavam. Kibbutzim is like we saw in Tartios. Okay, then he quotes first the Tarskanim from Kedoshim, and then he quotes the Tarskanim from Achremos. So the Midrashim that we saw, then he quotes the Sefra, all three Midrashi Halacha that we already saw, he quotes. He translates Tartios, like we noted, as theaters associated with Avodah Zarah. Misha asa davar me'ela chayef malkos. We're going to get back to that point. That's significant. It's not, for example, lav shebachlalos. The nichvala azara miza enyan b'makom acher. The hu amro. So in the third place, we have it repeated in parshas re'ei. Hishama lacha penti nakesha chareihem. Shama tidma, and he quotes that as well. Ba'argaman, fine. Vu min remine zion haprasha. Mufar yadata lashan anavi. V'al kol haloshim malbush nachri. So where do we get this emphasis on malbush nachri? So maybe we said it's alluded to in the Medrash Halacha, maybe, but really it's a pasuk, Sefania. It's interesting. Look at the pasuk in Sefania. Maybe other mefarshim read it a little differently, but the Rambam understood that that pasuk is teaching us that we have to have a Jewish dress. And the prophet chastises those who have Malbushe Nachri. Ze kulo lisrachik mehem. Uleganos kochu kosem vafilu b'malbush. So this is also very significant. The Rambam includes the reason for the mitzvah in Sefer Mitzvos. Now the Rambam in Mordvuchim tells you the reasons for all mitzvos. But rarely does he engage in Tamei Mitzvos in his halachic works in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mishneh Torah. So when he does, that's significant. And maybe also has practical ramifications. We'll get to that when we consider the Taz's theory about the Rambam's inclusion of the reason for the Isra HaKafas HaPeos HaRosh, that it might even be Motar Shalom Malchus, because the Rambam tells you the reason. There too, it relates to copying the idolatrous practices. So we'll get that example in a couple days, week, I don't know. But certainly it's significant over here. And we should point out over here, though, it's really the Pshuto Shel Mikra. In other words, the Pesukim themselves keep on telling you why you have to be careful not to do these things. So the Rambam is not making up this reason. It's coming from scripture, and the significance of that halachically we'll consider shortly. Uleganos, he adds also, kochukoseim. You know, we have to look down upon their chukos. Like the Medrash says, we should be proud of our own chukim. Right? We shouldn't say, oh, we don't have chukim. No, we also have chukim. And we should look down upon theirs. V'zbaro mishpatei mitzvazu b'shishi b'shabes u'v'tosefes shabes gamke. So very significant. Where do you want to find out these halachos? What's the source in Chazal? Now, he's already quoted the way Chazal types the Pesukim by quoting the Sifra and the Sifrei. But where are the halachos? You look in Shabbos Daf Samech Zayin and the Tosefta and Shabbos Zayin Ches. That's where you're going to find a discussion of these halachos. Now, one of the reasons why that's so fascinating is, first of all, like we said before, you see that he's accepting the view of Reb Meir along with the other Tanaim, right? Because that's what Reb Meir said. Reb Meir says, where are you going to, you know, what's the getter of the assistor? Look over there. And, you know, the things that Chazal characterized as dark Amori. And that's what he says over here, too. What's fascinating is, just one second, that in Mishneh Torah, he doesn't bring that down. You would expect, based off of what he says here, that in Mishneh Torah, what's he going to do? He's going to paskin all those halachos from Shabbos, from those Tosefta. They're not paskin at all in Chukos Akum, really. He mentions the only specific example that he gives in Chukos Akum in Mishneh Torah is the haircut issues. And he has a couple of examples of that, the low risk, the other types of funny haircuts. But there's no expansion. And most of the things that are included in that list from Shabbos appear in his discussion of Nichosh, not in his discussion of Chukos Akum. Chukos Akum is like four halachos and doesn't have that. So why that is going to be significant. Again, he tells you the reason for the mitzvah. So one, we said where he gets the reason from, well, Sukkim. So this isn't like speculative Tamei HaMitzvos. Speculative Tamei HaMitzvos certainly have no halachic application. I would think even if you hold Darshin and Tamei Dekra, certainly we who say lo Darshin and Tamei Dekra, you know, the Rambam, by analogy, says, you know, what's the reason why the Torah prohibits Shatnez? So that's because that's what the Gayim do. They, in some idolatrous rituals, they wear Shatnez. And how do you know that? He says, oh, I was reading their Sefer Avodah Zarah. Another time we talk about why the Rambam thought it was mutter for him to read Sefer Avodah Zarah, since he also says it's also to read Sefer Avodah Zarah, but that's for another time. So he says, oh yeah, I was reading the Sefer Avodah Zarah, and I saw that this is what they do. So now I understand what the reason for the Torah is. So nobody would think, oh, so I don't know, for Karov Lamalchus, it's going to be mutter to wear Shatnez. But here, we'll see that there is a heter of Karov Lamalchus. And that might be because, A, Kavana plays a very big role here, like we alluded to before. The reason why I have to wear this funny type of robe or get this funny type of haircut is because I need an audience with the Caesar, because I need to help, you know, lobby that this decree against the Jews be eradicated, and I can't get into his palace unless I'm dressed in a certain way. So it's not lehizdamos. I'm not saying, oh, this is the way you do it, this is the way I'm going to do it. No, I'm doing it because I want to get in. I want to save the Jewish people. And moreover, you know, this if it's limited to that situation, perhaps this chash is less relevant. So again, this point will be something that we'll see much more about as we see the various applications of the halacha. Yeah.
Thanks. Please just so define two terms. You mentioned nichush, I think.
Nichush is sorcery and superstition and alike.
Also, you mentioned
superstition. Yeah,
mentioned Darkei Amori. Is that Dafka Amori? Is that God?
So that's a great question. We're going to define the term Darkei Amori in a moment. But the Chazal frequently refer to Darkei Amori. Presumably, Amori means the Psukim also refer to Amori, like Lo Shilem Avon HaAmori Adhena. And they're not just referring to Amori, as opposed to Prizi or Yabusi, but presumably it means they were the most powerful of the Canaanite nations, just like we sometimes refer to Canaan, not as just Canaan, but as the Canaanite, you know, the nations. Yeah.
Borelon uses the Kapach translation.
Ah, okay. So the Kapach translation is where he has the Kofrim, and so does whichever the Frankel's using. So that's probably that, you know, it is what it is, but. One could be medayik. Yes.
Why doesn't the Rambam bring down the Torah's Kohanim about
a man marrying a man, woman marrying a woman.
Interesting question.
Rashi also doesn't bring down the comment.
Yeah. So it's always an interesting question, especially in Rashi, because like so much of Rashi is found in the Drashi Halacha. And, you know, people ask, not people that have really thought about Rashi, but, you know, what's the big deal? Like Rashi just quotes, you know, 85% of Rashi is just Chazal. So there's a lot more to that answer. But a big part of that answer is which parts of the Medrash Rashi brings down. And Rashi tells you, again, what this means exactly is a bigger discussion, but things that are Mefarish Tekra, Dabar Dibur Alo Fanav, or something like that. In other words, he's looking for specific parts of the Medrash. So perhaps Rashi felt that's more far-fetched. Not far-fetched in halachically in terms of more distance from pshat on those examples. In other words, Chukosamo Seilechu is more, Tartios is much more closer to pshat than let's say that example. Rambam, a little more interesting. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos does actually think Rambam Shita is pshat is very important. In terms of minyan and mitzvos, certainly. I don't know if that's what's motivated over here.
It's
an interesting question. I you know, maybe. I don't know if it's that when they were looking for an example, they were picking examples that would resonate with their audience. And if Rambam was writing today, you know, he might have given that example, this example. That's what I say. What's quite extraordinary about that Medrash is, you know, 50 years ago, you wouldn't have dreamed of that, you know, if I would have given you that example, like what? And, you know, things change very quickly. So there are a lot of examples. The Rambam didn't pick all of those examples, but I think it's significant. Yeah.
Just to clarify, have you quoted the sequences earlier about the feeders?
Yeah.
If I understood correctly, Rebbe said that Rav Moshe Paskin is based on this.
Rav Moshe doesn't quote this, as far as I recall. Rav Moshe, that is his plaque, though. And it's certainly in keeping with what the Rambam says.
Well, is Rambam mentioning that these theaters were places that there were scabbards, lavodas, slumming, to say that it was because of Avodah Zarah?
No, he doesn't say that, but he's defining it. In other words, what theaters are usher, or bechlal the usher of...
But it's not about the fact that it was done for Avodah Zarah per se, just that it's something which the Goyim did, something which was specific to them. I mean, well, Rambam doesn't really put an emphasis on the connection to Avodah Zarah.
Again, I think that Rambam would agree, as Mustaber, that he would agree to Rav Moshe, that a theater that's totally not associated with Avodah Hatzlamim would not be Bechal the Yisr.
Even if, let's say, it was a theater that was only attended by Gaia?
I would think so. Because otherwise, he didn't have to say, that's not important. That fact isn't relevant for his discussion here. He could have just said, Tartios, Vikarkasios, Elu Heiminim, Moshavim, Shemeskabtsin, Bo'ovde Kohavim. Right? Or Gaia. But he says, Shemeskabtsin, Bohem, Le'avodas Hatzlamim. So, clearly, there, I think, the fact that he says that highlights that point. It is, again, fascinating. Mishneh Torah doesn't quote this din. He doesn't quote this din.
Doesn't Rambam say it doesn't have to be associated with Avodas Kohanim?
In Mishneh Torah, clearly he does not. But with respect to Tartios, in Sefer Mitzvos, he does. I don't think there's a machlokas, but that's significant. In other words, what you're pointing out, and we'll elaborate on this shortly, but it's very significant that you might have thought that in light of what he says in Mishneh Torah, that you don't need an association with Avodah Zarah to be Aser. So maybe you would think. So why did he need to say that theaters that the Medrash is restricting are theaters Shemeskabtsin and Bemla Avodah Zarah, in light of the fact that he says that you don't, things are usher even when not associated with Avodah Zarah. Great ha'ara. But he does. So we could try to answer that ha'ara, But I think it's definitely interesting that he does. That, in other words, even the Rambam, who has quite an expansive view, at least in Mishneh Torah, but here also, you know, he keeps on emphasizing in Sefer Mitzvot Malbush, which is, you know, what we see in Mishneh Torah as well. He says this, yeah.
He does
it.
He says,
very good. So I think you're right. Good, excellent. So I we'll get to that in a moment. I was hoping to get there, but all right, since you brought it up, yes. Now, there is this very mysterious halacha in the Mishneh Torah about architecture, and the Ravid can't figure out what he's coming from, and Migdal Oz doesn't know where he's coming from. And I do think that it's likely that your interpretation is correct, that that might be what is coming from over here, though it's still not precisely the same thing. But yes, that there is a, you know, an architecture-related din of Mishneh Torah, and then there's here this going to the theaters. So maybe Vashon Sifra uvechukosem lo seilechu shelo telchu benimuso shalahem bedvar machoku kemalahem. Okay, good. Yes, agreed. Correct. You could say it's going on building. It could be going on building. Yeah. Agreed. But yes, so in other words, I am inclined to think like you that that might have been what he's referring to. Okay. Another very fascinating thing that we'll, you know, I guess we'll point it out, read it in the Rambam as well. We'll now turn to what he says in Mishneh Torah. Quite fascinating, is that the Rambam stresses not just the Sur Meira, but the Asei Tov. And that's certainly an important discussion to have in this context. You know, it's not just about, don't do that. It's like, Gayish, no. We have to be Yiddish. We have to, it's a bad way to put it in a Friday show, but the point is, that we have to emphasize our distinctness and not just emphasize that we can't be like them. So let's take a look at the Rambam in Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph, Halach Aleph. Ein Holchem Chukas HaGoyim. The law, so as we said before, the correct piyush here is Goyim, not Akum. The law medamin lahan lo b'malbush v'lo b'seyar. Like we said, the positive. The third pasuk. So, it's obvious that we have to be muvdal in the way we think, in the way we act, in our midos. That's pashut that we see in so many places in the Torah. What the chiddush of this mitzvah is, we also have to be muvdal in and yadua in our malbush and sharmaisin. And again, I think that, first of all, where did the Rambam get it from? He gets it from the Psukim, and he points this out also in the Sefer Mitzvot, because the Pasuk continues after it says, don't do what they do, then it continues, v'avdil eschem minamim. I'm going to separate you. You're going to be distinct. You're going to be separate. So this idea of the Asei Tov, of not just don't be Gaiish in your dress, but be Jewish in your dress. So we see that from the Psukim, and the Medrash Halacha says that as well. The Sifra also emphasizes the point. You know, a person might think, like we said, Shema Tomar Chukim, Lahem Chukim V'lolanu, or Shalahem Naim Mishalanu. No, we have our own Malbush. Maybe we could even say our own culture. We're going to see when we get to the Urim, the idea that there's religious culture and practice. And Chukas Akum addresses all three, prohibits two out of those three. So he continues, Lo Yilbush B'Malbush HaMiyuchad Lahen, V'Lo Yigadel Tzitzis Rosho, and he gives the examples. Now you might say, by the way, so let's say for the Rambam, are we in violation of the Rambam, right? I mean, all of us, like you just said, are wearing Western clothing here. Moshe Rabbeinu did not dress like we dress. So maybe, it sounds like actually, that the Rambam, we're not in keeping with the Rambam. So I think the answer is that do we keep what the Rambam says to a significant degree? We'll have to work out some of the details. We'll talk about Tai when we get to the Gra. But all of us, for example, are wearing a yarmulke. So when we go outside, we are definitely distinct in our Jewish dress because of our Jewishness. Anyone who sees us will say, wow, that's a Jewish person. Women don't wear yarmulkes. Certainly nowadays, they are distinct in the way, you know, you could pick a frum woman out from a 100 miles, you know, it's not hard to see. Definitely, even without a yarmulke, they're distinct in their malbush. It's much easier to be distinctively Jewish nowadays when the Gayim haven't, don't believe in sneas anymore. I'll tell you a story someone told me. He said that his uncle told him he was once in an airport in Houston in the 1930s. And somebody comes up to him and starts speaking to him in Yiddish. It's like, how do you know I'm Jewish? In those days, everybody wore like a hat and jacket and a tie on a plane. He happened to wear a hat and a jacket, but not everybody wore hats. Men wore hats, you know, until JFK. So he said, how do you know I was Jewish? He says, oh, I saw the way you were holding your cup when you drank your tea. So there might be more telltale signs than we even fully appreciate. But there's no question that the Rambam maintains that we have to be distinct. As we saw by Rick, certainly in terms of tznius, that's true for men and women. And we'll see the makor in Shas for that by Rick. In just a minute. But yes, we need Jewish clothing. And then the Rambam talks about certain types of haircuts. Maybe tomorrow or the next day, we'll talk about those precise parameters of that. Din is, we'll see, you know, it's getting a chup in Isser del Raisa. Then we have the point that you said before, V'libana mekomos kibinian hechalo shalakom kadeshi kantuban rabin. Which, again, I think your theory makes a lot of sense. She comes to where Rabin is referring to the stadiums, Kamoshe and Osin. Though here, he doesn't say Avodah Zarah. So that brings us back to your point. No, he doesn't specify. He says, Hechalo Shalakam, right? But he doesn't say, they're Mekabetz Lasos Avodah Zarah. But so there's a slight difference, but I think, I don't think it's a steer. I think each one is Megala al Hasheni. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fine. So as we mentioned before, very interesting. These halachos from the Tosefta and Shabbos and the like are not quoted here. They're mostly quoted in the starting from Halacha Dalet, where he starts talking about Nichash. I think the Pashtus is that the Isser of Nichash, which we'll have a chance to be Magdir more later, and Chukos Akam oftentimes overlap, but they're fundamentally different. In other words, the violation of Chukos Akam is copying them in specific ways. We have to be more precise and specific, but copying them in certain ways that is not related even necessarily to Avodah Zarah for the Rambam and not related to superstition or sorcery. For now, we'll just translate it as trying to mimic their rituals, address, things like that. Nichush is being superstitious and the like. Now, if you are superstitious in a way that they're superstitious, so then you're both in violation of Nichush, and Chukosaka, because you're copying them, and you're also being superstitious. Purely Jewish superstition would still be a violation of Nichush, not Chukosaka, but probably most of them did, Krovim or Rechokims, we got it from them. So it's interesting, by the way, that Rashi and Shabbos, Darkei Mori, writes, Nichush v'ksiv v'chukosam lo seleich. So he puts the two together. Now, if you look at the Rashash over there, he says it's lab dafka. He says that Nichush is lab dafka because really what we're talking about is chukosam lo seleich, as the Gemara's pasuk says. But the truth is that actually maybe Nichush is dafka because almost all of those are Nichush. And elsewhere, Rashi puts to Darkei Amori together with Nichush in Samach Zayinam at base, in Above Metzia, Chav Zayinam at base, Dimaschel Kis, where he again connects Darkei Hamori to Lo Sinachashu.
He's
talking
Rashi.
Yeah.
Can you explain that's why the Rambam puts all those halachos
in the Sefer? Excellent. Yes. And so we see the same thing in the Rambam, exactly. So again, does that mean that it's the same Isser? No. And there's a lot of overlap, but you're exactly correct. In other words, the fact that Rashi's quote-unquote mistake is, in a sense, the same thing as the Rambam is telling us. So I don't think the Rambam is saying it's one Isser. They largely overlap, but looking at the Tosefta will tell you both the things included in Darkei, in Chukosakram and in Nichush and the like. Yeah.
It still seems like a little bit of a kasha because the Gemara quotes it as Darkei Amori, not Nichush.
Well, so that's the question. In other words, Darkei Amori means doing their practices. And the list, when we look at the list of things that they had in mind for Darkei Amori, they're almost all Nichush.
Right. I mean, but why then one after another? I mean, why put it one?
So again, I still think I don't really have a good answer. Why is it that in Mishneh Torah, he puts them by Nichush? And say for mitzvos, he actually has both because he writes there that in Nichush, look in the Gemara Shabbos. It's interesting. He doesn't say that it's a Seftan Shabbos. It's Seftan Shabbos, he says, look only by Chukosakam. In Nichush, he says, look at the Gemara Shabbos. But in both places, he says, if you want to look what it means, look at the Gemara Shabbos. So in Sefer HaMitzvos, also in both places, both by the Lav of Nichush and the Lav of Chukosakam, he sends you to the same Gemara in Shabbos. So I don't think it's a stira. It's a ha'ara. It's interesting that he does that. I'm not entirely sure what to make of it, but I don't think it's a stira. And like we said, because they overlap, I think in Sefer HaMitzvos he does it because he's coming off of the Sifra. And that's why, and I think, again, maybe this is a broader topic. I think the Rambam you'll see in Sefer HaMitzvos builds largely off of Midrashi Halacha, because part of the goal of Sefer HaMitzvos is to show us how the halachos come from the Psukim. That's the goal. He actually tells you that. That's why he has the klal at the beginning of the klal mitzvahs, why what he included and the like. And one of the goals is to do that. In Mishneh Torah, it's more of halachic work. So therefore, it's much more rooted in the Shas. So that makes more sense to put it there. So I think it's more, not so much a stira as much as a different emphasis. And so in terms of his goal and likewise his reliance on... his reliance on Sefer Mitzvah, Midrash Halacha. All right, we don't have time. I sent you to look at the Smag, which is interesting in Iraim. The Smag is sort of in between the Rambam and the Iraim, though a little closer to the Rambam. Iraim is very, very fascinating. He has a couple of things that should be pointed out, and maybe we'll get back to them again, because the Beis Yosef does partially quote the Iraim. But the Iraim, it limits the Mitzvah significantly in a number of ways. The two most important ones are, he says that it's dafka these chukim, the ones that are listed in Chazal, which we know al pi Kabbalah. Maybe he was medayik this way because why else would Chazal need to be mefarit? So many details, like so many dozens and dozens of examples, right? If it was a broad isser, like the Rambam says, so just tell us the broad rule. And that's exactly what the Rambam does. It just tells you the broad rule. He doesn't need to give you 86 examples. Maybe the Rebbe thought, well, if Chazal gave us so many examples, that tells us that these are the specific ones. Maybe, like you say, he's medayik it from the lashon of lo amarti be'ela b'chukim achakukim lehem v'levoseim. And how do we know these chukim? Chazal told us. There's a Kabbalah. These are these things. The second limitation that's very significant that he has is he says dafka mitzrayim and kanan, like the pshuto shel mikra. And that's also why we need a Kabbalah for these things. Okay, so I'm sorry I have to run and stop early. Speak for simchas, and we will pick up tomorrow be'ezras Hashem yisbarach. So shir tomorrow will be at 3:30.
3:30 p.m. And you said there's a nice seder tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to pass out, that's why. Mazel tov, mazel tov.